I know you're not saying it like you are celebrating. This is celebration service, so. Tell somebody by your side, say it very well. Say, welcome to celebration service. Celebration service. Hallelujah. It is a service where we come to celebrate our victory. I don't know how many people are celebrating today. How many people are rejoicing today? There's a song in Hymn 319. It's a straightforward song. I'm sure we all know the song here. It says, Lord, Lord, Lord. Hallelujah. So don't stand in one place. So we are not in the mortuary. It's celebration service. Use your hands and worship the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your hands. Your hands. Your hands. That's the song. Welcome to celebration service. Hey, let's go now.
Sing, Lord, 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 Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Hey,
you surely be good to me.
Sing, Lord, Lord, Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Hey,
you surely be good. You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me.
If you have saved your soul, sing it very well.
You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me.
Oh,
you saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Yes, sir.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost. You surely be good to me.
You fill me with
rejoice.
Holy Ghost.
Celebration
you
service.
You surely be good to me.
Oh,
you fill me with the Holy Ghost. You surely be good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You healed my body when I was sick. You surely be good to me.
If he has done it for you, sing it out.
You healed my body when I was sick.
Uh-huh.
You surely be good to me.
Oh,
you healed my body when I was sick. You surely be good to me. You have done what is for good Lord.
First stand again, the first
stand
again,
first
stand
again.
Lord, you surely be good.
Sing
Lord, 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 you surely be good.
Lord,
Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord, you surely be good.
Yes, sir.
You have done what.
Next standard, continue.
Hey, you saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me.
You saved my soul, Papa.
You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You surely be good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Yes, so that's all he has done for us.
You fill me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You surely be good.
You fill me with the Holy Ghost.
You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You surely be good.
You fill me with the Holy Ghost.
You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You surely be good to me.
The last time now is a testimony of everybody.
You healed my body when I was
hands, your hands, your hands, your hands. Use your hands and worship him. Hey. Let's sing now.
Hey. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Oh, with my mouth.
Hey. With my mouth. Sing it very well.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Oh, with my mouth, will I make known?
Will I make known?
Thy faithfulness.
In my mouth will I make known,
yes, sir,
thy faithfulness through all generations.
Now, use your hands and worship the Lord with your hands. Bah, bah. Hey. Yes, Lord. Celebrate. This is celebration service. If you know you are celebrating, demonstrate it.
He paid the debt. He paid the debt. He did not owe.
Hey.
I owe the debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I can sing a brand new song.
Hey.
Amazing grace. All the Lord. Jesus paid the debt,
hey,
that I could never pay.
Hey.
He paid the debt,
yes, sir,
on Calvary.
Say it a minute.
He cleansed my soul
and set me free.
I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase.
I now can sing a brand new song.
Amazing grace.
Yes, sir.
Lord,
Christ Jesus paid the debt
that I could never pay.
Yes, sir.
One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally.
Yeah.
Won't he be glorious to see him on the day? I then will sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, all the Lord,
hey.
Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Listen, just bring it down. I want everybody to hear me. This is not a morning service. We did not come here to come and, you know, do like this. Satan had us as prisoners. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody today. Satan had us as prisoners. But one thing Jesus did that scattered that prison, he shattered it to pieces. When he died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." Hey, listen, because he shouted, "It is finished," all must be well. There's no argument. Eh? So the next song we are going to sing, I want you to sing it with all your heart. All must be well. Let's go. Hey! My God! Some people don't understand. Hey, hey. Hey. Yes, sir. Depend it all. Depend it all. Let's go now.
Through the love hey. Of God, our Savior, all will be well.
Yes, sir. Hey.
Free and gentleness is his favor. All is well.
Yes, sir. Sing it very well from your heart.
Precious is the blood that he free.
Wait.
You are the living God.
Hey. set me free.
You are the living God. Yes, there is no one like
listen. No one can love me like you do. No one can hold me like you do.
You are the living God. Yes, there is no one like you.
No one can save me like you do.
At all.
No one can provide for me like you do.
Oh, yeah, well,
you are the living God. Hey, yes, there is no one like you.
Ekuweme,
ekuweme,
hey,
ekuweme,
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 ekuweme.
You are the living God.
Say it.
Yes, there is no one like you.
Sing ekuweme,
ekuweme,
ekuweme.
You are the living God. Hey. Yes, there is no one like you.
Sing it like this. You are, you are.
You are the Most High God. You are, you are.
Shower.
You are the Most High God.
Say you are.
You are, you are.
Say you are.
You are the Most High God. You are,
oh, you are.
You are the Most High God.
Oh, you are.
You are, you are.
Say you are.
You are the Most High God.
Say you are.
You are, you are. You are the Most High God.
Say you are.
You are, you are.
Wave your hands to Him and say you are.
You are.
Sing it. It's a celebration service.
We bless
I bless you, Lord.
You are
holy. Holy Lord. And forever. Somebody is not yet singing it from the depth of your heart. Sing it again. I bless you, Lord. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Is there somebody who can express himself and just say, Father, I thank you? Can you use just 1 minute and echo out thanksgiving to him? This is a celebration service. We did not come here to mourn.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
We came here to celebrate.
Thank you, Jesus. God. Thank you, Jesus.
Shama.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you, Lord, you are holy. Tell him thank you.
Forever
you are God.
Bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. You are holy. Are you thanking him? Just 1 minute. Say something to him. Forever you are God.
Hey.
Bless you, Lord.
You are
holy. And forever,
you are God.
God.
Bless you, Lord. You are.
Say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Yes, sir.
Holy Lord, forever.
And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come before your presence tonight, this evening, for a celebration service. What you did on that day at Calvary. It is a common story to men, but it is where my freedom was declared. It is a common story to people. Educated people will just read and pass through. But in that very story, in the very line of the story, I see freedom. Your declaration is the reason why we are gathered here. We appreciate you. Lord, we want to remind ourselves why we celebrate, why we rejoice. We want to remind ourselves the reason why there is celebration. We ask, oh God, cause our hearts to be open to receive your word. Do the talking. We want to do the hearing. We want to live by your word. Help us this afternoon. The people are great. Only you can speak to them. Do what only you can do, Lord Jesus. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. Just before you sit down, I want you to be playing that song for me. Thank you. In Romans 5 verse 12. Romans 5 verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul talking. Go to Romans 5 verse 8. Although we are meant to die because we have sinned, But God commended his love towards me. But God commended his love towards me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Okay, you didn't know that's how it's written. Okay, you were not reading with me. But God commended his love towards who and who? Okay, I thought you were not part of it. Listen, in verse 17 of that same Romans chapter 5, he said, therefore, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, he said, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Next verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one shall many, I don't know how many of them are here this afternoon, shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. He said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, some people are not reading with me. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So grace is higher than it. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Unto what? Unto what? Eternal life by our Lord Jesus. That's the last verse. How many people are partakers of this thing I just read now? How many people are partakers? That's why this is a celebration service. Oh. We did not come here to come and cry. No, the offense came by one person, but another person gave us freedom. If you have tested of this freedom, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. And our text for today is Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. Open your Bibles if you can. Let's read. Don't worry, I'm not talking mysteries. My brother talks. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. My emphasis. And day. How many of them? Hey, Sharma. Don't get distracted though. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Somebody shout, the blood of Jesus Christ. No, I say you should shout. I not say tell me. Shout the blood of Jesus Christ. Shout it so that your neighbor will feel embarrassed. Today I want to talk about, this is a topic, the blood of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. The blood of Jesus Christ. That statement is powerful. The statement seems ordinary. It does not look like something that carries weight. God will help me to say what I want to say as he's going to be talking by himself. God is very intentional about anything he does. Hallelujah. The plan for God to restore mankind is an intentional one. It's not an accident, though. It's not a mistake. God is intentional about it. The devil put God's children in bondage. From that moment, in fact, you know what? Even before the story of Adam and Eve came in the scene. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We don't have time to talk about that. God was already telling us that it is by the cross he will bring salvation. It is mentioned there, but it is hidden because God is intentional. Brothers and sisters, because God is intentional, God does not joke with words. How many of us can confirm that? If God tells you tomorrow it will rain, forget about it. It will rain tomorrow. If God tells you this thing will die, this one will come alive, no matter how healthy that one is looking, it is because he is intentional. If this one must come alive for a purpose, everything will work together so that that thing will happen. It's intentional. So that statement you were shouting, the blood of Jesus Christ, is an intentional statement. Can you shout it again? From now on, when you are shouting it, mean it. Don't say it. Say it and mean it. Mean it in your heart. Hallelujah. What happened in Eden, you know, may sound very ordinary, simple to the ordinary man. But that thing, that story, you read in Genesis chapter 3, that does not even, some people don't even understand it. They just read it as a story. It's what landed everybody in the condition that we are in now. Am I talking to believers? A simple story. A woman and her husband were placed in a garden. God said, don't eat the fruit. Then the houseboy serpent came and told the woman and told her, madam, don't worry. Leave that thing. I have something new for you. And the houseboy convinced his madam, and his madam fell for the conviction. She ate the fruit, gave her husband, he ate, and God was angry. Does that not sound ordinary? Brothers and sisters, if you read deep and read in between the lines, you will not just see fruit and eating and everybody smiling. You will see what brought man, reduced man, from a glorious position to a worthless position. In Psalm chapter 8, David was saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is it about this man that you pay attention on him? Yet, this man that God is intentional about became so ordinary. The things that are supposed to be afraid of us, we are now afraid of them. The things that we were supposed to be controlling, God gave us dominion over, they began to control us. If a lion enters here now, forget. If a lion enters here, our elderly mothers will be the first at the gate. How it will happen, we can't explain. But you will know that human beings have an extra strength inside. Adrenaline. It is activated when there is trouble. You just discover that I didn't know I have so much speed. You will not run, you will fly. Why? An animal has entered that can devour people. Yet, one time, that animal was your servant. That animal could not hurt you. That animal was like a pet to you, something you could play with. But something, that story which I just explained, is what made that animal. We are afraid of it. So don't read the stories in the Bible just anyhow. Every statement, every word, every line has a purpose. There's something God is saying, but it will take you to wait on him and meditate for you to see it. I was listening to the question and answer, and somebody called and said, what happened in the Garden of Eden? And Pastor Lumi, they said that, they sinned now. The man said, what was the sin? And the man was trying to explain and talk his own. It was very, he stated clearly, the sin was that Eve listened to the sermon of the serpent. As simple and ordinary as that thing is what affected everybody up to today. And you know the most interesting thing? Many people, many of us here, we are still listening to some serpents. And it is affecting your inner man. Brothers and sisters, words are powerful. Be careful what you hear. Words carry power. You are playing something on your ears. You are not even, what will I call it now? Women used to do the shifter, Abby. There's no filter. Anything that comes, you listen to it. Then at the end of the day, your spirit man, instead of growing and becoming one with God, you are diverted in the spirit, and there's now confusion all around you. Ask your neighbor, what are you listening to? These days of many preachers and many eloquent speakers, when they mount the pulpit, they talk with so much grammar. If you are looking for grammar, there are many like that. They sound like they are saying something, but it is just serpents talking again to Eve. Adam is not around. So that story landed us in trouble. Hallelujah. Man sinned against God. But you know what? God's deliverance for us was this that Jesus did on the cross. That's why we have come to remind ourselves. That action of hanging on the cross, he was nailed, shouted, "It is finished," was our deliverance. If he had not died, if the Lord Jesus Christ had not died, I don't think I have a future. I don't know about you, but I don't think I have a future if Jesus did not die. Because the enemy that is actually after you is bigger than what you know. Brothers and sisters, can I make this statement? I hope I will not confuse people. Satan, we call Satan a small boy, but excuse me, Satan was a cherub. He was a cherub. You know who a cherub is? By hierarchy, Satan is sitting in a very comfortable position. Not just comfortable. Satan knows the secret of life. That's why he can deceive you. God said he gave him wisdom, gave him, anointed him. The person, the demon we are dealing with, is not a small boy in this business. Any great man that has ever risen, he has brought them down. So if the Lord Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, you would have understood the power of the kingdom of darkness. You understand that language. But because the Lord died, see the way we are jumping. That's why I said we did not come for morning service. We came for a celebration service. Anytime you pick the bread and the wine and you are holding it, it's a reminder that that thing that happened that day at Calvary was not a film show. It was for your freedom. If you eat it with the right understanding and say these things you are saying with the right understanding, I am telling you, your deliverance is certain. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to believers? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you focus on the last event, it sounded like foolishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it's a scripture we know, that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He says, God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. If God is about to do deliverance for you, he will not come and send one strong thing to come and do it. He will just give maybe a very simple instruction. Brothers and sisters, allow me to say this way. Faith is defined like this. Do as I say. What is faith? Do as I say. What is faith? What is faith? Do as I say. What is faith? Jesus went to a marriage in Cana, John chapter 5. Wine finished. John chapter 2 rather, sorry. John 5 is a different story. John 2. And then they came to him and said, Master, there's no wine. The mother was the one that, they came to the mother. The mother said, whatever he tells you, just do it. They went to him. Wine has finished though. You see, why people who use their sense cannot prosper in this kingdom. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? If you use your sense, you can't make it in this kingdom. In this our kingdom, where Jesus is Lord, is do as I say, no matter how foolish it sounds. Look at the people. Master, wine has finished. The mother was telling Jesus, say, oh, what? It's not yet my time now. Why are you disturbing me? She left. She told them, anything he tells you, do it. They came. He said, fill the pots, the empty pots. Get 7 of them. Fill them with water. Draw from the water. Give the people. If you were there, you will not do it. We say wine. You say, we could put water. You did not even say, when we put the water, we should stir it. And maybe when we are stirring it, you'll be saying something. He said, put water inside that earthen pot. Then serve the water to the people. Because they received a simple instruction. They went, carried the earthen pot, put it, full water there, carried the wine, and started moving like zombies. Everybody was collecting, thinking they were drinking wine. Only the person that served knows what was inside. Now, what I served this man? The chief of the event drank it and dropped the cup. He said, what? He stood up. He said, wait. The normal tradition is that you will serve the worst wine. You will serve the worst, then give us the best. Abi, you will serve the best, then give us the worst later. But why have you served the worst? Then you gave us the best. Anything Jesus touches. Jesus. Hey! If the Lord Jesus Christ touch you, I don't care how deformed you are, you'll be a prince with God. Somebody did not hear me. I don't care your condition. If you come under this blood, no matter how blind you are, Jesus, no matter how blind you are, your condition has become your name, blind Bartimaeus. Your testimony will shake the whole city. Because the hand of Jesus is coming on you. Do as I say. Do as I say. Peter is a very interesting figure. He was on a boat. And then he saw the Lord. They saw a man who looked like a spirit coming. Peter was the first that said, ah, if you are the Lord, tell me to come. Do as I say. Peter, come. That statement made that water cement. Work on it. Brothers and sisters, anything the Lord asks you to do, do it. In this kingdom. Do it. Don't say it's a foolish thing. That's by the way. In John chapter 19, from verse 28 to 30, what happened? I want to re-emphasize again. Because there's no sermon I'm going to preach that you have not heard, but just hear this little one. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And then now, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with the vinegar, and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Then Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. When he had received it, he said, it is finished. Somebody shout that statement. Shout it, don't close your mouth. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Brothers and sisters, this story is just 3 verses. This statement, or this thing I just said, 3 verses. But this is what set you and I completely free from the hand of Satan. It is finished. Whenever you come here and you are seeing the communion, dance in the best way you can. Because you are doing it in remembrance that the Lord Jesus Christ hanged on the cross and said, it is finished. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. Somebody shout very loud, the blood of Jesus Christ. No, shout it with intention. The blood of Jesus Christ. Listen. The story I want to share now, I'm going to call some prayer points. So I want you to listen to me very well. I beg you in Jesus' name. The children of Israel were from Canaan with their father, Joseph. The story of Joseph, everybody knows it. They landed themselves in Egypt. Exodus 1, verse 7 to 14. The story goes that the children of Israel actually prospered in that land, and they became so many. So many. They prospered in a strange land, and they were so many. That prosperity and blessing became a problem to Pharaoh. And this Pharaoh was a new person. And the generation we're talking about knew. All the other 12 sons were dead. These are their children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the Egyptians got angry and made these people who were once free became prisoners, slaves. They began to suffer them. So they began to serve Pharaoh and his people. And he was always increasing their tax. Gave them tax masters, suffered them. Now it was time for God to send a deliverer. Who did he send? Who did he send? Moses and his brother Aaron followed. Hallelujah. I'm prefacing a long story that you would have been reading. And then God was now telling Moses, I am sending you here because I want to judge the Egyptians and I want to judge their gods. After today's communion, there will be judgment in somebody's house. You didn't hear me. Should I say it again? This is the house of God. After today's communion, there will be judgment in that place where things are working against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 3, let's read from verse 7 to 10. We can do that reading. Quickly, if we can. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. By this time, God is talking to Moses. He had appeared to him. And heard their cry by reasons of their tax masters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large. And unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. And the Hivites and Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that thou might bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. One assignment for one man. Moses and Aaron took off. Moses took off. His brother Aaron came, joined him. And they went straight to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. They just went straight. Pharaoh, yes, we have come. We are the spokesperson of the children of Israel. Let them go. God said they should go and serve and sacrifice. Pharaoh said, what? Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. How can the Lord say I should release his people? Who is the Lord? I don't know who is asking that question around you. God will answer them by himself. I said, God will answer them by himself. Exodus 5:2. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Moses said, the Lord said, he said, who is the Lord? Who is this the Lord? I am the only Lord in this land. Amen. And he left. Pharaoh increased the burden of the children of Israel. Doubled it. He said, I used to give them straw before. Because this man came here and made mouth. Remove straw. Let them be suffering. Let them form the straw by themselves. Let them struggle to do anything they want to do. Because somebody said, let them go. The Lord said, the children of Israel, when Moses went to them, they said, okay, Moses, get out from here. Who are you? You came to cause trouble. We're enjoying our prison. I don't know how your condition has become very comfortable. God will set it uncomfortable for you today. The condition became so comfortable until they are hearing that God wants to deliver you. They say, Moses, I beg, get out from this place. See the trouble you have caused. We're enjoying this thing, no? Managing ourselves. You now came and went to go and protest. You protest now, fuel went to 1,000. You would have just allowed us to be enjoying and managing that 700, Abi. Abi, 600. Would have been managing it. You now went to protest. Now the thing is 1,000 something. And they are planning to take it higher. Moses, get her from here. Get her from this place. Aaron, leave. Moses and Aaron, broken, they went back to God. Father, what is this? The ball has turned. They have turned against us. God said, no, Moses, calm down. I want to show my great power in this land. Who can still trust God? Hey. Who can still trust God? Who can still trust God? I am here to announce to you that God can be trusted. I came to announce to you, God can be trusted. Aaron and Moses, calm down. I came to show my great power. I was not talking nonsense. This thing I'm telling you, I am intentional about this deliverance. Something will begin to happen from today. And God told Moses, he said, go back and tell Pharaoh, I want to release plagues. Hey, I don't know where your enemy's camp is. How many plagues do you want to go there? 50,000 plagues. Don't wipe off the air, though. He said, I want to tell him there shall be 10 plagues. I'll be doing them one by one. Tell him, oh. Moses said, okay. Moses left the children of Israel and focused on the enemy. The real enemy. That brother by your side is not the problem. Am I talking to believers? That person by your side is not the problem. The real enemy is Satan the devil. He's the one behind all this nonsense that we are facing. He's the one behind all this wahala, quarrel, issues. It's Satan the devil. It's not your sister or your brother. They left the children of Israel, went straight to Pharaoh again. Pharaoh, that same Lord, he said, I should tell you there will be 10 plagues. Pharaoh said, what? 10 plagues? Go ahead now. From chapter 5 up to chapter 11, let's say 10, we saw 9 different plagues. We don't have time. I cannot read all. I think I wrote them by scripture somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. 9 different plagues. For each one, Pharaoh said, lie. Each one, the heart will be hardened again. Some people are stubborn, no? There are some demons that are so stubborn. They think they have overpowered God. Pharaoh thought he had overpowered the Lord. But there was a reason for the 10 plagues. That's what I want to share with us this afternoon. There was a reason. I think I can read through. Frogs. First one was water turned to blood. Frogs coming out of the river Nile. Lice from the dust of the earth. Swines of flies. Death of cattle and livestock. Ashes turned into boils and sore. Hailstone rained down from up. Locusts sent from the sky. 3 days of complete darkness. And the last one was the death of the firstborn. Remove it first. I've not come to that one. The firstborn, both man and animal, insect, even mosquito. Everything died. I say, I don't know what anybody is doing and they think that they have finished you. Brothers and sisters, can you still trust God? I am telling you now that God has a strategy. He wants to take it step by step. The Bible says in the book of Psalm that the nations of the earth gather themselves against us to come against us. It says God will look at them from heaven and he will laugh. That's the first time I saw that God used to laugh. Somebody will be planning a secret place. God will be here and will say, see this man. He wants to fire my daughter arrow. Interesting. You know, sometimes God will laugh and allow the arrow to hit you. He didn't go hit you. Father, why have thou forsaken me? No, he didn't forsake you. He wants you to fall first. Before you get to the ground, there'll be a hand that will catch you and lift you up. Ah, Shama. What a God. What a God who enjoys showing his greatness, but in simplicity. You see, earthquake. Things are scattering. Houses everywhere will scatter. A boy holding his Bible, hiding inside a room, nothing will happen to him. The building will collapse, so, but the boy will be inside there. When they bring it, they'll say, wow, miracle. This God is too much. That's how he works. The situation must be very bad before you will see him. If you can still manage it, he has not come yet. Wait until you are nearly falling. Then you will know that there's a hand stronger than your hand. It will catch you and lift you up. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. God was very intentional. So he started his work. Gave the first one, second blow, third, till the ninth one. Hey. Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 12. Let's read it together. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
Holy Lord.
And forever you are God. This God is too intentional about us to allow the enemy to shame us. The ninth one happened. Pharaoh was not moved. Then the tenth one came. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, Exodus 12, and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall they make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, clean, pure, a male of the first year. So it's a 1 year old lamb, innocent. It didn't know anything. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. Ye shall keep it until the fourth day. That's 14th day. 4 days after 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Please take note of all these things I'm saying. And ye shall take the blood and sprinkle it, strike it rather, on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, and with a bitter herb shall they eat it. Eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water. Sodden at all with water. But roast it with fire. His head, with his legs, with the pontanus thereof, that is, the intestine, everything, roast everything. Lay it like, some of you have seen the way they keep bush meat. Do it like that. Hallelujah. And then verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins guided, your shoes on your feet, your staff on your right hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute
judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout the blood of Jesus Christ. Why will God give such an instruction? Let me tell you something. Israel had lived in Egypt for a long time. Joseph and his brothers had died. Egypt at that time is known to be a city and a country full of gods. They have God for everything. God for everything. They have lived there until, if you look at an Israelite, you will not know the difference between him and an Egyptian. Because they had blended with the city, blended with the way of life. They did not only blend, they became builders in that city. So every structure, they built it. Am I communicating? As far as Egypt is concerned, the children of Israel had already learned the lifestyle completely. Idolatry was a normal thing to them. So when Moses came and said, the Lord said, the God of your fathers said, I should tell you that it's time for freedom. I'm telling you, they did not believe him. The God of our fathers. There are many gods. Which one? Is he Osiris? Is he Kanun? Is he Ra? All of these gods, plenty of them, they have been so yoked into the system of the world. I don't know how yoked you have been into the system of the world. You have even forgotten where you are from. So, one abomination that is not done in Egypt is for a man to slaughter a lamb or a goat to cut the neck in the public. It was a death sentence. Hey, you know what God was telling them to do? Go outside, proclaim your faith that you believe in me. Hey, somebody did not get it. I said in Egypt, to kill a lamb at that time was abomination. You know why? The highest of their gods, Kanun, he was represented by a lamb head or a head of an animal with horn. He was the chief god. God was telling them, defile that thing that you already know. Defile it, although it's supposed to take your life, and see whether I will not preserve your life. I don't know how you have blended so much with the world. When you leave here on Sunday, you go to your business, you join them to do what they are doing. We went for a wedding. A brother looked at me and said, because I was around, he was telling the other brother, they want to take Pami. Is it Pami? I'll be something like that. You know, I said, Pastor D.L. You know, I said, you know, we like to justify our sin. You know, I said, no. Pami. And actually, that God give us. We just want to drink, just small. You know, the thing, they healthy. I did not ask you. I don't even know what you people are talking. You are explaining to me what you want to do. I don't understand. I didn't ask you. We're not communicating about Pamina. He explained. You go to your shop. You act like the world. Brothers and sisters, anytime you do that, you're actually telling the Lord that you are not yet identified with him. If you are ashamed of him and what he has done for you, he will be ashamed of you. Am I talking to believers this evening? Israel, why did God give you the instruction? Go and show everybody that you believe in me. You know how many Jews were there at that time? Let's give an approximate of 1 million people. So 1 million Jews sacrifice one lamb for a house. Let's say they are not up to 1 million as a family. Let's say it was 350 sheep or 400,000 sheep and goats that was sacrificed. The whole of Goshen will be messed up with blood. He did not only say sacrifice it. He said carry the blood of that animal. Paint your house, the doorpost. He said let your faith
be known to the whole world that you believe in Yahweh. Is somebody getting something? He did not only say, put it, don't just kill the animal. Don't even kill it in the morning. Wait in the evening. Everybody would have come back from market. Let them see you killing their God in front of them. This God. Kill that their God. I want to show you that I am the Lord. I change it not. Kill their God. Apply the blood on the littles. Then wait for me inside your house in the night. I want to come and do a feast in Egypt. More than 2 million people will cry one night. I want to make a declaration. Will you receive it? I don't know how many they are. They have come together against you. In one night, they shall all cry. One night, more than 5 million families cried in the whole of Egypt. Hey, oh Lord our God, they are the works of men. Yahweh is the only true God. Shama. There is none like him. None. Israel, kill the animal. Sister, display your faith even in your office. They say if you don't wear skimpy clothes, no promotion. I have an announcement for you. There's a God that lives and breaks protocol. Ty, you didn't hear me. How can somebody understand what I'm saying? Hey, Jesus. I needed a job to go for training. I find the man. I heard of the man. When the thing became very impossible, one day I just walked into our daddy's office. I said, Daddy, please, there's this job I'm looking for. I want to go for this training. See. Daddy said, no problem now. Anytime the man comes, I will connect you to him. I'll do it so that you can see the man. Any day he comes, come and meet me. When God wants to break protocol, the thing is very easy. The man came, was in daddy's office. I sneaked inside. Sir, that thing. He said, this boy, he said, I said he should come and talk to you. Talk to him. He continued what he was doing. The man said, young man, how can I help you? I said, sir, see what I want to do. He said, is that it? He said, we have stopped doing it, but what can I do? And you really want to do this? I said, yes, sir. I've finished. I just want to go through that process and train and learn. He said, what will I do? We have finished. The training does not exist again. He said, well, you know what? I will speak to the manager. They will give you an employment on my record so that you can be trained and work there. Brothers and sisters, he sent me a message. The message he sent to his manager, sent it to me, sent the manager's reply, and told me when I should go for an interview. I went for that interview. I failed. I failed it. I've left school. I've left school more than 3 years. I failed. The man that interviewed me said, oh, God, you are even failing the thing. You are not getting it. What now? Now, wow. You are failing it. His oga came in. How is the boy doing? He's trying. It's just that there are some things he's not getting right. What did it concern me? I sit down there. Me that I know that there is a mail I have received. Oga say, employ him. I bless you, Lord. You are holy. Child. And forever you are God.
Bless Lord, you are holy.
I bless you, Lord. You are holy.
Holy.
Shama. And forever
you are God.
The man said, go, we'll get back to you before uncle. I left there confidently, went outside. I went to meet the other man. How was the interview? I said, well, I think I tried. He said, don't worry, we'll get back to you. I saw his mail to the oga. The young man did very well. He just needs some brushing up. He will do well. Before uncle, will he not do well? I want to make a declaration. I don't know how difficult something is to you. Yahweh will break protocol on your behalf. I was walking in the place. So I was so interested in the thing. I was working, learning. If I'm learning, my guy in the place will come and meet me. Sometimes if I go to the office, I sleep because I'm tired. I'll sleep. The man will come. You are sleeping. Now I'll be Oga Pekin. I can't do anything. I can't say anything. I'll be Oga Pekin. I can't say anything. I said, sir, I'm just an ordinary young man. You will not understand. God will give you divine favor. Israel, why should you make it public? So that you can tell the world what side you are standing on. Anywhere you enter, brother, sister, declare it confidently. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus. When you stand in front of your shop, don't open your shop and be saying, only God knows whether I will sell today. You don't know where you are coming from. You don't know the kingdom you belong to. Kai, the Bible says we are seated with Christ. Where? Heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers. And the rulers of darkness of this world. He placed all of them in their category and announced to us that we are seated with him, far above them. When you stand in front of that shop, Bride of Christ, say, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this shop. I belong to Jesus. I will do well. Amen. Open your shop. Enter. You may not sell that deal. But you know what? You know what? Before the end of the year, you will prosper in that shop. Why should they sacrifice a lamb? The chief god of Egypt is Canaan. Every plague, God was destroying physical things and disgracing spiritual things. Each plague was to answer one god. Brashile, can we display it? Each plague was an answer to one after the other. One after the other. If this plague happened, that one has been answered. Happy was the first. He's the Egyptian god of the Nile. He's the one that controls water barrier. You know what God did? He turned the Nile first into blood. He was telling that god, shut up. So all the people that were worshiping this god became confused. What is going on in Egypt? The magicians could not undo it. The next one, he answered the next god. The Egyptian goddess of fertility, water, renewal. You know what he did to her? He made sure that frogs started coming out from the Nile. Because that's where they worship her. This public disgrace. Every action was to answer a god. The next one. The next plague. This one is the god of the earth. You know what he did to that one? He made sure that the lice that was coming out came from the dust of the earth. The god could not stop it. When he got to the fourth one, the magicians went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, what is going on? You people can stop this thing now. They said, Oga, this one is the finger of God. Our power will reach that side. Every god was answered, one after the other. One after the other. Until the ninth one, the tenth one. The tenth one is this reason why he said, carry a lamb. Slaughter it publicly. You are cutting his head. If you can cut his head publicly, roast him with fire. Eat it. In the night, I will kill the Pharaoh, his first son. I will kill that one. Then scatter that god completely. I will preserve your life. But any Jew that was afraid and did not do that action died. They lost their first son that night. God is not a respecter of persons. Faith is do as I say. Simple. I don't care how long you have been in Egypt. Why don't you turn away from the world and see whether there's a God that still changes lives? Why don't you turn away from all those nonsense and see whether this God can still be trusted? Why are you opening your body? I need to marry. You have gotten to 34. You are almost 40. Somebody married at 50. Gave birth at 55. We saw another one of a 60-year-old, I mean, how many years? On Facebook, 70. She gave birth, pushed baby out. Not in Oibo, in Nigeria. Is there anything my father cannot do? I'm talking to somebody this afternoon. He said, kill the lamb on the fourth day. What he was saying actually was, if you carry the lamb and you kill it immediately, they will not understand what I'm doing. Allow the lamb to stay out for 4 days. Let it be crying. Help, help. Nobody can help him. You leave it. Let it be outside. Let everybody see that you have turned away. Let your faith be radical. Abraham, go and kill your first son, your only son. Huh? How many Abrahams are still here? Abraham woke up, didn't tell Sarah, carry the boy, take the stick, where could they go? They went, the boy was asking, daddy, this thing, where is the sacrifice now? If that boy had died, well, lying in anywhere he would be, he'd be angry with his father. You've got time saying, I'm make I prepare, I'll die. The father carried him, until they got to that rock. He placed the young man, lifted a knife. He was looking at his son, Jesus. He was looking at his son with a knife in his hand. He was about to strike the son dead. Why? God said so. You don't know the weight of what I'm talking about. See the way you are looking at me. How many of us will do that which God says we should do? Even if that thing is against our will. If that thing is against what makes sense. Carry your son. Go and kill him. Abraham was ready to do it. The angel of God had to intervene. Abraham! He called him 2 times because he didn't hear the first one. The boy would have been a dead man. Abraham! Abraham! Wait. Don't kill him. Now I know that you fear God. How many of us here fear the Lord? Now! It is now I have confirmed it. It means all these years Abraham was serving God. God did not confirm that he feared him. Brothers and sisters, I know there's a great promise hanging on your head, but there's a great test waiting for you. Can I say that again? There's a big promise of God hanging on your head. There's also a great test waiting for you. If you pass that test, he will bless you with the king's blessing. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seeds. They will be like the stars of the heavens. He said, Abraham, what will I do for you? I want to give you a blessing that no generation can ever handle. From that time, see how many years ago, till the rapture, Abraham is still a relevant point because of one simple action of obedience. When you come out to carry this communion today, be ready to obey his voice. Be ready to obey this word. They killed it openly on the fourth day. And God disgraced Canaan, disgraced Pharaoh, disgraced the whole of Egypt. One night of victory. The story is there. Exodus 12. One night, killed all of them. The angel of death came to the house of the Jews and saw the blood applied. Applied on the door. Every person that is under that roof was covered. No matter your age. The saving place. It's under the blood, nowhere else. He came, saw the blood, shifted to another house. Saw the blood. God took his time, went to every house. Shebi, now these people don't believe Moses. After you have seen 9 plagues, will you not do it? They killed. It was a very serious matter in Egypt. Apply the blood. Everybody was seeing it. Their God has been sacrificed. I'm sure Pharaoh and his ministers would have been planning a serious stoning to death for the Jews because they hated shepherds. They hated shepherds because shepherds were rearing their God. And shepherds used to kill their God. So they hated shepherds. Joseph told his brothers, when you stand before Pharaoh, tell him that you are traders and that you used to trade rare animals, sheep and goats. If he asks you where you want to stay, tell him to send you people to Goshen. Go and stay there. Nobody's there. That place looked like an abandoned place. But in Goshen, there was light. Brothers and sisters, that victory that came that day, called the Passover, that gave birth to this action we are doing, we are here now to proclaim the exact same thing God did for them. But this time, on a higher covenant. Why did God allow a man to die? Not just any man. It was the Son of God by flesh, but the image of God in the spirit. So I can rightly say it was God that died that day. The blood of God was spilled. Anytime you shout the blood of Jesus Christ, you are re-echoing covenant. In occultic kingdom, they have their slogan. There's one thing we're watching. One of the slogans is, no blood, no glory. When they see them, they will shout, no blood, no glory. Brother, sister, anytime I stay anywhere and something is not right, I will shout, the blood of Jesus Christ. Situations change because of that. I am under the blood. I am pleading the covenant. Accidents want to happen. The blood of Jesus Christ. Plead the covenant. Things will turn around. Hallelujah. 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 God killed the first son of Pharaoh and destroyed Canaan and destroyed everybody. Finished everybody. And when he came to John chapter 19, he did not only destroy Canaan, he put Satan under our feet. Okay, it's not everybody that is a believer here. Let me re-echo it again. On the cross, it was not those square people that were destroyed. Satan, was put under our feet. No wonder Revelation echoed it very loud. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they are members of that kingdom. Anybody can shout the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you are a member of this kingdom, you have been born into the family of God. Kai, you don't need to say, I soak myself under the blood. You are not only soaked, you are living inside there. Am I talking to ministers of God? I've heard somebody before, years ago, give a prayer point. He said, I dip my tongue in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I speak to your life. I said, no, I did not dip my tongue. I said, I'm inside the blood, and I make a declaration. Why will he not stand? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for it? Now, we're going back to Calvary. I want you to be on your feet. As you come to pick the communion, the bread and the wine, have this at the back of your mind. I plead the covenant today. I plead the covenant today. By reason of this action, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. It was for my freedom. I will not remain in bondage. Everything will work for my good this week. I'm giving you a prayer point. Anywhere I go this week, things will work in my favor, because I come under the covenant of his blood. Come forward. Please let them be directed. Pick the bread. Take the wine. Hold it confidently and take that prayer. I don't want anybody to be silent. As you're collecting your own, be pleading the blood and be talking to the Lord.